Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul and I'm here with my guests, Eric Hayden and Margaret Hookie Lewis, to talk about Cyrano's production of Almost Alaska, which is now playing. And how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty good, actually. We had really nice crowds the first week, and the actors are doing fabulous. Things came together really easily. We had one small glitch the opening weekend where one of our actresses got sick, though.
And I heard about that.
Yeah. So actually, we're contemplating how to fill her role. A lot of times you'll just have someone read it in. And it didn't make sense to have any of the actresses from the cast read it in, because the way the scene changes are set up and everything, it just wouldn't have worked with anybody else. So it ended up happening that I read it in. So we figured the stage manager, Scarlett Boudreau, she said, well, you know, if you're going to go ahead and read it in, why don't you go ahead and do it in drag, since it's a girl's part? And I was, well, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. So, yeah, we did it with full dress and wig and makeup and everything, and...
No, I heard you were very good.
I saw it, and it was wonderful. It couldn't have been better. It was like it was staged for it. People loved it.
Good, good. Well, Eric, now you have an entirely new career marked out for you. But you are stage man. You are directing.
Yeah, right? I directed and I did the sound for the show, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you did the design, Margaret.
Yes, this is my 13th play for Cyrano's, doing the stage. And I really like the idea to work with Eric. I know him as a wonderful actor. And so I was curious how he would be as a director and working with him. Each director is really so different, and I am usually flexible. Eric was very easy. Not everybody is like that. They have a certain vision, and to really fulfill that vision is sometimes very difficult. This set was different than all the other sets. I do only artistic sets. I do mostly with paint, not with construction. And I don't have a carpenter with me, and it's always a problem to really get a carpenter to do construction. So I avoid doing a lot of construction, and I think theater is illusion, and I love the idea of creating an illusional set.
I agree with you completely. I grew up on radio, and I never really need sets to understand a play. You have to have sets to the extent that if people are walking up, and you've got to have something for them to walk up on, and so on. But as everyone who's been to Cyrano's knows, you do a wonderful job with sets.
They're
for that small space and such an intimate space.
Yes, I like the space. I have done now for the big stage, too, what is a very different experience. But because it's so limited, it gives you opportunity to really challenge the limits. I love that box there. Everybody hates it. The box is there, and you have to deal with it. I usually use it, and I don't... hide it.
That's good.
The theater is small, and if I hide it, it makes it even smaller. So I use the backdrop very much. But in this set, Eric gave me some hints, and I never read the script. I found out that it is not good for me to read the script. I get distracted by details. And I don't want this. I just need to know what is it about. And I read in this play, I could read what the writer wrote about it. Sometimes it's totally blank. But here...
Yeah, well, it's interesting how it works with different processes with different stage designers. And Margaret's wonderful in that it's it works really well for me because I can give her the ideas of what I want. And even though I'm not very distinct about a lot of the things, that's the way I like to work with the actors, too. It's like I have some very distinct pockets, but I like to leave it open for the collaboration of the artists to bring in all of their own thoughts and ideas into it. And so with what we got with Margaret was still a very, very artistic set, but we had to integrate in certain aspects like a porch and different things like that that are, you know, more, you know, standard things that she's not as much using that often. And we really enjoyed with this one. It was really opening up the space a lot. We went all the way to the back wall and really and curved the angles a lot. And yeah, it makes it feel really, really spacious in there. So.
Well, before we go any further, we better talk about the play. So this is Almost, comma, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me what Almost Alaska is.
Well, it's actually adapted very minorly. There's very minor adaptions that were needed from a play by John Cariani called Almost Maine. So that was the original title of it. And basically, we only had to really change some city names here and there and some other minor things to get it to work for Alaska purposes. It's amazing how many parallels there are between Maine and Alaska. So,
well, I think we should make this clear that Almost is the name of a town.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, the idea is it's a fictional town that's in Alaska. We set ours around the Denali Highway. So,
well, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk, here with our guests, Eric Hayden and Margaret Hoogie Lewis, who are talking about Almost Alaska, now playing at Cyrano's. And what's the play about?
Well, basically, it's a series of romantic scenes where there's couples either getting together or falling apart or dealing with romantic issues. And they're all about these same people in this same town, just different people from the town, all essentially happening on the same night, just in different locations in the town. And there's not really any overlap of characters. All you have is like different characters mentioning other characters that you see in the play. So it's like all individual scenes of people from this town that are blended together to make this great little play that you know, really... What's really wonderful about it is it kind of takes metaphors that we use about love and whatnot and kind of brings them into reality.
This is clearly you are using to advertise it, Midsummer Night's Dream, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it has that kind of fantastical feel to it. Of how there's a wonderful mix of realism and surrealism in its own, and the way that it kind of brings everything together is just, it's really magical. So.
Well, the first description I heard of it was falling in love and falling out of it, which also sounds like very midnight. So did you take that into consideration?
Yes, actually, what was the part of it when Eric told me that at the end there is going to be snowfall, and how are we going to do that? Mm-hmm. And I had first the idea to make a box up into the ceiling and a way of opening it with a string and then create snowflakes. I really wanted to do them not realistic, but we cut them out. We is the whole cast, and one evening we sat together and just cut out snowflakes from paper and on strings. I was thinking to let them fall, but then that was quite difficult to... We could have maybe done it, but Eric came up with a much better idea. At that point, I think you, Eric, had a change in using extra actress to do some of the jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was then... I made a curtain from the snowflakes. It was very, very pretty. And the extra actress, what Eric will probably explain, mm-hmm. was then able to function, that curtain, so it was opened up. It was very romantic. Mm-hmm. The scenes, too, I wanted it to create a cold feeling, but in this snow, deep snow, mm-hmm. but pretty, not threatening.
Mm-hmm. And I was very interested in, she said, so you all got together and decided to cut out the snow. And, of course, I assumed you meant you rewrote the play. Not literally cut out the snow.
Oh, cutting out.
No.
Cutting out wasn't all. I had to iron them. So much.
What would you like to expand on that? She said you would.
Oh, well, the other actress, basically, I had the idea early on. It's something I've started doing with some of my earlier direction pieces, mm-hmm. is I like integrating the scene changes mm-hmm. into the play a bit more to, you know, keep things moving along mm-hmm. and to not, like, take people out of the moment. So basically mm-hmm. what happens is as soon as the scene's done and you have to change all the furniture and everything, mm-hmm. people suddenly go and just start talking and, you know, pull out of things, and like, I hate that. So it created a little character in between the scene changes where essentially she's this, you know, little snow fairy who mm-hmm. comes out and dances around and, you know, brings out some of the set pieces along with the actors who change some of the stuff. But and then in between each scene, she holds up a little card that says the name of the scene. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a really worked out really well. She's really fun, really, really enjoyable, and she kind of like helps bring things together, and it kind of almost it helps integrate the whole thing into a cohesive piece.
It was delightful, mm-hmm. delightful idea.
This mm-hmm. It's interesting. To a little aside here, but mm-hmm. that's the just by coincidence, Anchorage Opera has done exactly the same thing with Pagliacci, mm-hmm. Introducing really? Acrobats who take care of moving the thing along when there's a break.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really supposed to be talking about yours, but it is. You've seen it, obviously.
Yes.
And it works very, very well. So. Mm-hmm. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're beginning to run out of time.
Okay.
So is there anything else you'd like to add before we wind this down?
Well, it's a really wonderful cast. Some people who are regulars to the stage, Krista Schwarting, Shane Reeves has been there before, but not very often. But, I mean, there's a lot of new people there, too. Bradford Jackson, who's fabulous, and Sarah Genofley, and our other Sarah, the Scene Change Fairy. And then Cheryl Silcox is actually her first play, and it'll be her first week this week since she was the one who's sick. So, she's really fabulous, amazingly naturally good actress. So.
Well, I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to seeing it. But in the meantime, we have to say goodbye to our guests, Eric Hayden and Margaret. See if I can get this right this time. Why don't you say it for me?
Okay, Margaret Hugi-Lewis.
Thank you very much for coming to talk about Cyrano's production of Almost Alaska. And now for the Stage Talk calendar. There are two more performances of Anchorage Opera's run of two one-act operas, Sister Angelica and Pagliacci. They're will be tonight at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. This is good as theater as well as music. I saw it and I recommend it. For tickets and info, call 263-ARTS or book online at centertix.net. Scared Scriptless. We'll have two performances in November at the Snow Goose Theater. They will be Saturday, November 14th, that's tomorrow, and Friday, November 27th. Show times are 8 p.m., and for more information, call 310-1973 or visit the Snow Goose Facebook page. Mad Myrnas presents the Rocky Horror Show through November 21st. Performances are at Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 7 and 10:30 p.m. They are located at 530 East 5th Avenue. For tickets, call 276-9762. And finally, at Cyrano's, Almost Alaska continues its run This is a play about love, falling in and out of it, in the remote and cold mythical town of Almost, Alaska. Show times are Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through November 22nd. For more information, call 263-ARTS or book online at centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at ksKA.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.